Nicole and Andrew. We can only imagine what it's going to be like when we come before the Lord and we're able to be in his kingdom. And we don't have to be concerned and frustrated with the things of this world when there'll never again be sickness and never again be heartache. Where there will just never again be the issues that we face in this life, only peace and love and joy. Thank you, Nicole, for sharing with us today. This past Monday night, I'm getting a ringing up here. Could we cut the... Thank you. This past Monday night, we were... having our men's Bible study. And we got into quite a discussion. And by the way, fellas, you're missing out if you don't come to that men's Bible study. It's a lot of fun. We get into a lot of discussion. And we even get off on rabbit trails once in a while, which I know those of you who have taken any of my classes, you're shocked at that. But we also learn a lot about one another, about the Lord, and about various things. And in our discussion this past Monday night, I had expressed a concern that I'm seeing in the modern day church, and in fact, a concern I see in this church. And that is that people have lost some of the sacredness and the value of the altar. You know, I was talking with the fellows about that, and one of them brilliantly brought up, why don't you speak about it? And so I'm going to hold him responsible for the number of people that get frustrated with me speaking on this subject. But I'm going to speak on it anyhow. The altar is a valuable, valuable place in the house of God. And we're looking at churches everywhere that are removing the altar. And they're just taking it out. And folks, so many people don't understand what is the purpose of the altar. And so I want to share with you a couple of things. I'm going to read just a couple of verses. They were in Matthew chapter 5. They're printed out in your bulletins, but I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Version at this time. We're going to pick up our reading at verse 21 and read through verse 26. But I want you to notice the importance that Jesus places on the sacrifice that we make at the altar. You have heard that the ancients were told, "You shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court." But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever shall say this to his brother, Reka, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever shall say, "You fool," shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. If therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, in order that your opponent may not deliver you to the judge and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you shall not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. Notice in particular verses 23 and 24. If therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. When you do an Old Testament study on the altar in the house of God, you find out that the altar was many faceted. You will find that the various offerings that were brought before the altar were for significant moments, not just in the individual's lives, but nationally. You will find that there were significant offerings that were offered at the altar for the forgiveness of sins. Again, individually, and even for the sins of the people. And so it could also become a national time. And there were various times when the offerings of remembrance were presented, where the people would take a time to reflect upon great deliverances that God had done for them and how he had been involved. And then there were just simply thank offerings, where people were just filled with gratitude for what God had done and the way that he had blessed them as individuals. There were offerings that were brought before the Lord for any type of an issue in life. And in fact, even times when people sought the offering or presented an offering at the altar for other individuals. You see, the altar wasn't just a one-time visit thing that people in Israel did, but it was a continual part of their experience. And it was a valuable part of their worship. Some people believe that the altar was done away with when the Old Testament was completed, when Jesus rose from the dead, and that there was no need then. But that's not true. And in fact, you can even go to the book of Revelation and look up the references to the altar there and how the altar is used. As I was considering this and listening to the voices of the fellas, they said, you know, we have a lot of new people here at the church, and some of the new people may not quite understand why you place the importance on the altar that you do. And so maybe it'd be good to talk about that a little bit. So I'm heeding their advice. And I want you to understand that the altar is for more than just a one-time trip to get saved. Too many people believe that. I remember having a conversation with one of our folks here that used to be a part of the church. And we had a guy in the church, wonderful guy. His name was Raymond Davids, Pat's dad. I didn't tell Pat, I was going to refer to his dad. But Raymond had a firm belief that the altar was a place to be used. And whenever Raymond would sense a little something in his soul that he knew was not pleasing to the Lord, Raymond went to the altar and he'd make sacrifice, where he would sacrifice a part of him in order that he might have and keep open that line of communication with the Savior. And a guy came up to me and he said, "Pastor, you need to talk with Ray and tell him to quit running to the altar all the time." I said, "Absolutely not." "Well, you only use the altar when you get saved." I said, "Absolutely not." The altar, folks, is the place of sacrifice. Not for a one-time sacrifice, but whenever the Lord begins to yield or reveal to us something in our lives that needs to be yielded to Him, the altar is a place where we can go and commit that and bury it and leave it and be able to grow. The altar is also a place where we can come before the Lord and we can thank Him. Lolly had presented a little note thanking the people here at the church for your prayers and for your encouragements. And that's an awesome thing. Well, you know, the altar's a place to do that too, where we can go and thank the Lord for what He has done and for what He is doing. The altar is a place where we can bring our burdens. You know, some of us here, and probably all of us, have family members who don't know Jesus Christ. The altar is a place to bring those family members in spirit and lay them before the Lord, and to present them and to tell the Lord, "Lord, these are yours. I give you my children. I give you my aunts, my uncles, my spouse, whatever. I give them to you because I'm just borrowing them. That's all. They're yours. And perhaps, Lord, I have clutched them to myself so much that I've hindered you being able to work in their lives. And so, Lord, I give them to you and ask that you would visit them." And you want to know something? No one should ever, ever, ever question why someone goes to an altar. Never. Between you, me, and the fence posts, it's nobody's business. Not even ours. When someone comes to an altar, we can't necessarily assume that they're coming because they don't know Jesus Christ. We can't necessarily assume that they're coming because there's something terrible in their lives that they need to get victory over. Because they might be coming in gratitude for something God's already done. Again, even when you study in the Old Testament, you find that the offerings brought to the altar were for all different types of purposes. That's what the altar is for today. And it will remain so. You know, I'll tell you, as long as I'm pastor here, the altar is for sacrifice. It is for praise. And it is for thanks. And we need to respect what takes place at the altar. And we need to use it and let God have those parts of us that might hinder His freedom of being able to work in us and being able to work through us. The altar is valuable. The altar is God's plan. It's a part of what he wants from you and I, a demonstration of submission to him. A place where we come to die in order that Christ might live in us. A place where we come to receive the encouragement of God. And the pat on the back or the kick on the behind, whatever we need. The altar is a place of joy. And it's a place of sorrow. It's always the place of worship. And whatever form that worship takes, it's valuable. You know, for those of you who are here and new, maybe you're not familiar with the open altar at prayer time. But you know, it's an important time. And even though we don't know why someone's come, we know that they've come because they're either filled with sorrow, disappointment, or gratitude. And they want to demonstrate that. Whenever someone responds to the altar, our first response should not be, well, I wonder what they did. Our first response should be, Lord, why ever they've gone, bless them. And you'll cover the gamut that way. Again, it's the place of sacrifice. Just like Paul talked about in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, when he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the perfect and acceptable will of God. The altar is the perfect place to present your body as a living sacrifice. Folks, please understand that the altar needs to be respected. It's not worshiped, but it is to be respected. Every once in a while, I get myself in trouble with parents because when I see kids sitting on the altar, I'll tell them, no, don't sit there. Be seated in one of the pews. Don't sit on the altar. Because I have such a high respect for the business that gets done at the altar that I think people should respect it. And children need to be taught from a very, very young age about the value of the altar. I hope that this little talk today helps people to understand a little bit. And maybe remove some of the stigma. And maybe even remove some of the fear. But that you will hold a respect for those who respond to the altar. And you will hold a respect for what takes place at that place of sacrifice. Whether the sacrifice is for joy, whether it's the sacrifice of praise that's brought before God, whether it's the sacrifice of conviction where you wish to die out to yourself and lived Christ. But please, don't ever question why someone uses the altar. Respect their decision. I'm not going to have an altar call, per se. But I want you to know that at any service, at any time, the altar's open. In a moment, we're going to have Matt come. He's going to lead us in a benediction. We're not going to sing the closing hymn. But we're going to have Matt come. And I just want you to understand that when the Lord speaks to you, you listen. If He speaks to you in the middle of a service and says, you know what, I need that part of your life, you feel free. Don't put Him off and say, later, Lord, when they get to the end of the service. Don't do that. If God is speaking to you then, go then. You see, God loves us. And when we bring sacrifice to Him, He takes that very seriously. And I pray that we do as well. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to have a closing word of prayer. We're going to ask Matt to come, and he's going to lead us in our benediction. But again, I want you to know, if you sense the Lord is speaking to you, if there's something you want to thank Him for, you feel free to go to the altar. If you sense that there's something that He's convicting you of, and you want to release it to Him, you feel free to go to the altar. Anytime. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, thank You. Lord, we know that in order for us to have life and to follow You, there must be sacrifice. Jesus, You said it this way, if anyone wants to be My disciple, let him deny themselves, take up their cross, follow Me. Lord, if we are to follow You, there must be self-denial. There must be personal crisis on a cross. And there must be full dedication to the following. Now, Lord, please help us, each and every one, to reverence You and to take seriously our vows to You and to not be dissuaded from those things, but instead to be good witnesses and lights in this community. So, Lord, guide us, guard us, protect us and direct us. And we'll give You thanks and praise, for it's in the awesome and the incredible name of Jesus we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you again for being here. May God bless you. And Matt, would you please lead us in the benediction?